This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. 877-217-5757. That's your number. And we're joined in studio by Republican Scott Wilfong, Democrat Mary Patricia Ray. They're here to talk about primarily the governor's election. The primary is 4 days away, October the 12th. Friday, Donald John Trump, the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, will be in Lake Charles on election eve campaigning for a nebulous Republican. He quite likely will have Ralph Abraham and Eddie Rasponi at his side. And yesterday they were both present when Donald Trump Jr. came to Lafayette. They're on the front page of The Advocate today. All four of them, or all three of them, along with Attorney General Jeff Landry and Kimberly Guilfoyle, the former Fox anchor, who ironically is the ex-wife of California Governor Gavin Newsom. She's there with her boyfriend, Donald Trump Jr., significantly younger than she, but it appears to be a relationship that's working well, and they're traveling together in hopes of unseating the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards. And issues regarding relationships are at the forefront. A woman, Juanita Washington, who was on this show about a year ago and made allegations against Johnny Anderson, the former deputy chief of staff for Governor Edwards, is calling a press conference today, and she's featured in commercials attacking the Edwards administration for its actions or lack thereof when she made sexual harassment allegations against Mr. Anderson. Now, Mary Patricia Ray, a poll yesterday that I observed from Mason Dixon for WAFB showed that John Bel Edwards, among women, is at 51%, among men, 38%. Big gender gap, 13 points. Obviously, it would seem this is an effort by the Republicans to drive down the support that the governor has among women. Will this work?
I think that women across this state are the most pliable voters in every election, and they're the ones that we have to work the hardest to persuade. The Republican candidates have already tried to persuade women in this state with some positive messages and some other negative messages on boondoggle, dog whistle messages like criminal justice reform, and now they've moved on to another negative message that they're hoping will work, and we will find out on Saturday whether it works enough to push the governor into a runoff.
Scott Wilfong, you're a political consultant of note. You know how this works, and occasionally in a close race, all is fair in love and war and politics, and this time around, the Republicans, the Governor's Association, they're trying to make John Bel Edwards seem as though he's out of touch when it comes to the Me Too movement and sexual harassment. Do you believe that to be the case?
I think that's part of the effort. I mean, when you were just discussing that, I just pulled up the statistics. It does look like in early voting, female voters outnumbered male voters by almost 50,000, 210,000 to 166.
So, I think in Louisiana, 54% of the electorate is female.
It is, yeah. I think the single highest demographic of voters is black females.
Yep.
I believe that's – and the highest propensity voters are black females. So, you know, I think you can make any case out of statistics, but that was interesting. If John Bell's got a lead with women and women are outnumbering men in the early votes,
is a black female who's making these allegations.
Yeah. So, you know, that's definitely the attempt from the right is to paint him as out of touch and not responsive to women's issues.
Well, both polls that I saw yesterday, one from John Cuvion and the other from Mason Dixon for WAFB, they're remarkably similar. Both have Edwards at 45. Both have Rasponi in second place, one at 21 and the other at 20. And both have Abraham in third place, one at 19 and one at 18%. So you would have to think that you got two reputable polling firms doing similar work at the same time, and they're coming out with almost identical numbers, that there's something there. And there really is something there for everybody except Ralph Abraham. It looks like he's fading, but as far as the potential runoff, most likely between Edwards and Rasponi, Scott, is that a given, or do you think that Edwards might very well win in the primary?
Somebody used an analogy of it's a straight up and down needle, and it can go it doesn't take much to move it one way or the other. You know, I mean, on Saturday, I'll go and I'll vote for Ralph Abraham. That's who I've always said I was going to vote for. But, you know, it became apparent when Ralph couldn't raise the money that, you know, responding by outspending him was just going to – he was just going to get in front. But I don't think it's a given. You know, the thing I guess that concerned me the most yet with those polls were the head-to-head matchups where at least the Mason-Dixon poll, I believe, showed John Bell over 50% against either one of them. That's where we've got some real work to do. There may well be a runoff, but you know, I think Republicans have been complacent, thinking if we're in a runoff, we win. Those polls don't seem to show that, and Republican voters need to get out and stay motivated and stay engaged so that if there is a runoff, we can win on November 16th.
And Jim, what we're seeing in that JMC poll, you know, whether you think JMC polling is the Bible or not, that he's been polling over time, so you can see some trends in his polling. And the undecided numbers and the lean-to numbers and his polling are moving. And the undecided numbers are growing, which means that people who had made up their mind are unmaking up their mind and going back into that pile where they could be mm-hmm. picked up by somebody different than who they used to be committed to. And it's late in the race. Those lean-to numbers changing, meaning second choice kind of, or undecided, but... you know, I lean to this person. Those numbers move before the main horse race numbers move. And so we're about to see those main horse race numbers change again if we get any more polling before Saturday or if we have a runoff and we have to have the Republican start over again. So, you know, there's more to glean from those polls. But ultimately, all the candidates, like Scott is saying, are focused on just turning out their votes for Saturday. We already had the second highest turnout for early voting ever. And I think that everyone's trying to make the case for why that helps them. And everybody has a little bit of an argument for why it does.
And two of the most important names on the ballot Saturday in the governor's election may not be the big three. There is Oscar Omar Dantzler, an African-American Democrat, who's going to get some votes. And there's Gary Landrieu, an independent who is conservative, but has the Landrieu name and is the first cousin of Mitch and Mary Landrieu. He's about 6'4". He doesn't
doesn't look like a traditional Landrieu, huh?
He does have the follically challenged look,
but
big broad-shouldered guy and big personality. And if he gets 3% of the votes, it could be a problem for John Bel Edwards, because we know he has to get 50% plus one vote, where if Landrieu gets 3 and this guy Dantzler gets 2, then that's 5, and that means that Rasponi and Abraham only need to get 45 to force a runoff. And that would not, in ordinary times, considering this is a red state, seem to be a heavy lift. Why is it a heavy lift this time?
I don't think it's, you know, so much of a heavy lift. I think it's just the governor with the power of incumbency. I mean, if you look back to 2016, you had a black Democrat named Edwards in the race with John Kennedy and Foster Campbell and others. He got nothing. I mean, like, blacks still voted for Foster Campbell because he was the known candidate. I don't believe for a second. I know they've been talking about this for a while, that Omar Dantzler somehow is going to make big inroads or whatever.
But if he gets 2%, it could be significant.
Maybe. The key is Landrieu. Now, I don't know about Landrieu is, where is his vote coming from? Is that coming from black voters? Is that coming from whites who otherwise wouldn't vote for Edwards?
He told me last week, I saw the guy, and he told me that he knew where his votes were coming from. They're coming right off John Bel Edwards, because people think that he's like Mitch and Mary, that he's a liberal Democrat, and he's far from it. He's running as an independent, and he's very conservative on a lot of the issues, of course, that the Landrieus generally are not. But he's going to get some votes.
This race is a heavy lift for an incumbent, because statistically speaking, incumbents hardly ever win Louisiana governor's races. It's only happened some 5 times in the history of our state. We have a Democratic governor in a deep red state who has to get 34% of the white vote, by the way, to win this election. And ask any pollster in the state. And the higher the turnout goes, the more these percentages end up mattering. So if you sit at a table of political consultants at any diner in town any morning of the week, before you finish talking about why he has to turn out the black vote, the conversation will go to how he's not turning out the white vote. and then you can go right back to the black vote again.
Well, what's really the unknown here, I've had this conversation already with Mary Patricia, is 4 years ago, a lot of white voters obviously voted for John Bell because they didn't want David Vitter. But 4 years later, how many of those are going to change? And I'm not so sure when a voter casts a vote for a politician, to then change from that politician is a little bit admitting your own mistake. You know, mm-hmm. Well, I voted for John Bell 4 years ago. I'm not going to do it this time.
That's a good point.
How many of those will actually stick and maybe through their own pride say, well, I wasn't wrong 4 years ago. I'm going to stick. That's the great question.
Or how many who stayed home 4 years ago because they didn't want to vote for either will show up and 40%. Vote for somebody other.
But in the Mason-Dixon poll, Edwards' approval rating is 56%, which is exactly what he got 4 years ago. And surprisingly, Donald Trump's approval rating in that same poll is 51%.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back with Mary Patricia and Scott after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and in studio, Mary Patricia Ray, intricately involved in John Bell Edwards' victorious march to the mansion four years ago. It started about 5 or 6 years ago. Actually, it started right here in this studio in 2013. But he won, going away 56% of the votes in the election against David Bruce Vitter, and some real powerful numbers in places like East Baton Rouge Parish. In 2015, John Bell Edwards in the primary got 49.3% of the votes in the primary in East Baton Rouge Parish, with three Republicans on the ballot, including one from Baton Rouge, Jay Darden. And then in the runoff against David Vitter, 68% of the votes in East Baton Rouge Parish. Dan downtown. Good morning, Dan. You're on with Scott Wilfong and Mary Patricia Ray. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Is there any indication that the so-called Democratic candidates got under-the-table payments from the GOP in order to get on the ballot to take votes away from Governor Edwards?
Well, there's only one other Democrat, right? Yeah, there's Omar Dantzler.
Well, it was reported that Lane Grigsby is funding radio spots for Dantzler in the black community. I think that was an article today. Under the table.
It's interesting.
I would think not under the table, but, you know.
Well, all is fair in love and war and politics.
Well, political speech is protected speech, so Mr. Grigsby is entitled to support any candidate of his choosing.
And Lane Grigsby is also supporting Cleo Fields.
He is,
A black Democrat.
I'm supporting Cleo Fields.
Are you?
Absolutely.
That's funny. That
Fields for us, the best campaign jingle I have heard
in 20
years.
I'm a highly sought-after vote in that Senate race, and I don't live in the district. But I keep getting targeted ads.
Cleo doesn't live in the
candidates.
District either.
I keep getting targeted ads from candidates, and I'm not a voter in that Senate district.
But Cleo is legally a candidate in that district because of the way the law is configured, and Pat Smith acknowledges that. So there was and likely will be no challenge. But Cleo Fields, who would have thought that this man, and Cleo Fields, by the way, will go down in the history books as a fascinating candidate and office holder in Louisiana. He had his congressional district taken away from him because of gerrymandering. And in truth, his district was no more gerrymandered than Garrett Graves' district is right now.
But Garrett, how about when I was in high school, he was my congressman in Ruston.
That's right. He was elected first to the state Senate in 1987.
Back when Scott was in high school in 1876.
Well, Scott was born in 1976, I believe.
I'm sorry about that.
He was 11 when Cleo won.
I wasn't born yet, so I had trouble keeping track.
And Cleo, but he had his congressional district wrongly taken away from him. And, of course, he made a runoff for governor when he was all of 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost to Mike Foster in 1995. And he is a force to be reckoned with. And
he's also the reason, one of the biggest reasons Jeff Landry is the attorney general today.
Why is that?
His support at the end of that runoff. He
Now we know Scott's true allegiance.
Well, Tony Clayton.
I love Jeff Landry.
Tony
I'm glad
Clayton's
he did.
A good friend of Jeff Landry, and and Tony and Cleo Fields are quite close. So,
yep.
But Senator Fields may very well be returning to the legislature, and if he does, we know that he will not be a shrinking violet. He will be active. And
that's why I think the business community looks at it and realizes that Cleo will immediately have power and have influence and have a following.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
with
he's
respect
just,
for equal time, his opponent, who has a long history of bringing difficult legislation in the Louisiana House and passing it on behalf of people that otherwise would not have a voice in that chamber, in that body, has fought a really hard, tough campaign, and I know is going to keep on working hard through the end.
Some say difficult legislation, some say radical.
Everything in that race, as far as money, name recognition, points to Cleo winning, but I talked to a political person in the know, and he claims that Pat Smith is going to win that race because of what you talked about. Black female voters are chronic voters, and they're going to vote for a black female who's very respected and respectable as far as her candidacy, and they would prefer her over Cleo Fields. And the fact that Cleo is getting this support from the business community makes some people wary of him.
I was polled last night in this race, and again, I'm not a voter in this district. So well, definitely a big one that people are watching.
All right. A listener asked about the Trump factor, and the president is coming to Lake Charles on Friday on election eve. Bill Huey says when the president appears in Lake Charles, will Eddie Rasponi sit on his lap? Now obviously that's not going to happen, but it does appear that Rasponi is likely to be the runoff challenger if there is a runoff. And I think he is viewed by the Edwards camp as a more dangerous candidate. But before we get there, the Trump factor, does he help or hurt?
We've seen polling that suggests that voters are not persuaded either way by a, quote, endorsement from Donald Trump. But what I've been pointing out to people who remind me of that all week is that, and really all, this entire race, is that we won't at first see an endorsement, because that's not what Mr. Trump's coming here to do on Friday night. He's coming here to tell the people of Louisiana to vote against somebody. And that's a little bit different from an endorsement. That's the question that's always been polled. Would an endorsement influence your vote? And, you know, parsing those words, as it actually matters. I do think that in rural areas of our state where the vote tends to get out late and where a lot of people stay really asleep about an election till the last minute, they're going to tune into that Friday night news, TV, and they're going to see that Donald Trump was here delivering a specific message about who not to vote for, and that there's a chance that it could wake up the wrong kind of voter. Conversely, there's also a chance that it could have an inverse effect on JBE's base, and I think that's probably what they're hoping for. And so maybe the math ends up exactly the same as it did in those polls about an endorsement. It ends up being pretty much a wash.
Yeah. I think I pretty much agree with Mary Patricia on that. It's there's no question that the black voter turnout operation on Saturday will include some component of guess who was here last night. Trump wants to bring his brand of Washington politics to Louisiana. The difference, I think, is if this were a U.S. Senate race and the president was here, or even a congressional race, a special election for Congress, that would in a sense, it has the effect of scaring conservative voters into what if I stay home and the Democrat gets elected. Louisiana voters don't fear the governor like they do a U.S. senator who has the ability to go in and vote on things like abortion and guns and all these, you know, radical left issues that are being pushed. I think it helps. I don't think it helps to the extent that if it was a federal race that he were coming for.
Now, I do remember the year of 2002 when George Bush and Dick Cheney both came here and campaigned on behalf of Susie Terrell, and she lost. And remember in that race, Mary Landrieu got 46% in the primary, and three Republicans collectively, Terrell, Cooksey, and Perkins, got 51% of the votes, and yet Mary Landrieu still won, despite the fact that right after 9/11, George Bush is in here campaigning for Susie Terrell, and the voters ended up going the other way. Same thing happened with Henson Moore. Ronald Reagan came here three times when he ran against John Brough. Didn't work. In Louisiana, sometimes we don't like Scott people telling us what to do.
Well, they don't. But also remember, in 2005, there were no Republican elected officials. And today, it's been a complete – in 15 years, it's changed. Louisiana
that principle
has changed.
That Scott told you about earlier, where voters being told they made a mistake is a problem, comes into play here. Because with the president's impeachment problems going on, that's like telling the voters of Louisiana that they supported someone who's wrong. And so I think there's something sort of guttural going on with that base of voters. Mm-hmm. And seeing his face here in Louisiana is a reminder they need to get out and support him. And I think there is something to that narrative that might play out a little bit on Saturday, but again, could just end up being a wash mathematically.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Mr. Wolfong, Congressman Abraham voted to repeal Obamacare, which is subsidized health care. On the other hand, he accepts millions of dollars of subsidized farm aid not to grow. Does that make him a typical greedy, grummy Republican hypocrite?
All right. What about it?
But David's always got a good question, and he does touch on a point that has been a little burr in my saddle for a long time, and that is one thing we've done as a party is stand for these farm subsidies that I went to school in Illinois and Iowa, and all those corn producing states got the same ethanol subsidy. So for once, David, I agree with you. It's a bad policy, but no, that doesn't make Ralph Abraham a grubby, money grubbing, whatever you called him. I'm still voting for him Saturday.
He did say he wouldn't take his congressional pay, and he did not take it for one term, but then had a change of heart. 877-217-5757. Back with Scott and Mary Patricia after this time out for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 4 days from Election Day, early voting was strong. And will that compute to Election Day? There are some football games on Saturday. And will there be a November 16th runoff for governor? It could be settled in the primary. Going back through the open primary years, there haven't been that many governors put to the test. Some didn't run for re-election. Others had token opposition. One time, a governor did run for re-election and got pushed to a runoff. The only time it's happened was in 1987 when Edwin Washington Edwards finished second to Buddy Romer and decided to call it a day and didn't even go to the post in the runoff. So if John Bel Edwards is forced to a runoff, he's the first in modern time to do so in Louisiana, but it appears that he is going to be somewhere between 48% and 52% of the vote. That's what he'll receive come Saturday. And if he gets 50% plus one vote, he's the governor for the next 4 years. 877-217-5757. For Democrat Mary Patricia Ray and Republican Scott Wilfong, we go to Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, good morning. It comes down to two simple things for this old five-a-dimer. I remember Jindal, and the other two candidates are waving the Trump flag. They lose my vote.
All right. You don't support either Rasponi or Abraham because they have latched themselves to Trump?
Well, not only that. I'm looking at the Bobby Jindal 8 years of just pure hell.
All right. Well, Bobby Jindal has been almost invisible in this campaign. In fact, I think he has been invisible. No Republican wants to touch him because he's radioactive. And, of course, John Bel Edwards has mentioned him. So that, I guess that makes him visible in the negative context. But Mary Patricia Ray, at some point, does it become out of date to continually blame Bobby Jindal? He's been gone now for 4 years, and he hasn't been speaking out on local or Louisiana politics. His focus is more on national matters, as it was when he was governor. Why keep pounding away at this man?
As soon as there is no rational link between your opponent and Bobby Jindal, and a poll doesn't tell you that it's an effective message, it will be outdated. I do not see that date in the very near future.
That's done in every state. That's done when Obama came in, it was Bush's fault for all the Great Recession, and when Trump came in, it was Obama's policies. But it's like the saying about there's two themes in politics that do work in spite of themselves, and one is negative campaigning, and one is regionalism. You can campaign effectively on elect me because I'm from this area. It doesn't seem like it should work, but it does, and that always works.
All right. Another listener asks about John Bel Edwards signing that restrictive abortion law and whether this will affect him with women who are not conservative. Mary Patricia?
Well, every poll we've seen on this issue suggests that the rape and incest exceptions were not as widely popular, that the bill that was signed was not as widely popular as people might think in pro-life Louisiana. However, people who did not like the governor's signature on the bill don't have a lot of other options on the ballot. So they probably are finding their way to his name.
Jim and Walker. Hi, Jim. You're on Talk Louisiana with Scott and Mary Patricia. Good morning.
Well, from reading, good morning. From reading local message boards for our news organizations, Bobby Jindal is less radioactive for Republican voters than they are for people who, I don't know, are smart enough to know what happened. But it's just amazing that they're willing to just go, well, but he had an R in front of his name, therefore he was somehow anointed. That's the way that voting goes right now in this state, and it's awful. They don't know what they're voting for.
Well, I think I understand the point. He's not radioactive among Republicans. No, he's not. I mean, I understand why people were anti-Bobby Jindal. However, I personally think he was a good governor. I think he did a lot of really good things. But it's the same. It's the football analogy. You win the games between the 20s and the end zone, not 40 yards in the middle. So it's the edges of politics that make the difference. It's the voters that does matter to. And that's why John Bell's campaigning on it
any area of the state where there's public employees or government institutions that suffered because of the policies of Bobby Jindal. And I think that case has been effectively made. People believe it. It's sunk in. No one's really arguing that happened during his tenure because of things he did. He is radioactive, and they get it, and they don't want to go back to it.
And
until it's fixed, that message is going to work.
We're a little bit, we're surrounded by a state bureaucracy,
Well, but in Marksville, there's a prison, and in Shreveport, there's a medical school. Yeah. And, I mean, go anywhere you want in the state, and the story's the same. It's all screwed up, and it has been for a decade because he wouldn't fund it, and it all broke down.
All right. Lastly, Scott and Mary Patricia, Morgan Wampold, who is obviously working to defeat the governor, a political operative and a good one, writes to me saying that this press conference coming in less than an hour with Juanita Washington, an alleged victim of Johnny Anderson, and by the way, I think it goes beyond alleged. She was rewarded a significant judgment. She is appearing with Senator Sharon Hewitt to announce a lawsuit against Governor John Bel Edwards. They're actually filing a suit. I don't know what this is going to be, but he says it's regarding Johnny Anderson's sexual harassment and abuse claims.
What is Sharon Hewitt's connection?
I want to make sure.
She's not a lawyer. I think she's an engineer.
But she is, of course, a state senator. So
from, St. Tammany.
I want to make sure we correct one thing, though. There was no judgment. There was a settlement.
Sometimes you make a settlement to prevent a judgment, a distinction, yes. Okay. All right. From the lawyer, Mary Patricia Rett. Thank you, Mary Patricia. It should be interesting to see what happens here. But I don't know why they would be suing the governor, but apparently that's what's going to happen. It says to announce a lawsuit. Also, a group called Truth in Politics is involved in
this. That's Lane Grigsby's group.
Okay, so Lane Grigsby, who is supporting Eddie Rasponi, Cleo Fields, and a lawsuit against John Bel Edwards if this story is accurate. So
it is the time of year for very strange bedfellows, is it not?
Yeah, and it would be nice to get Lane Grigsby in here to talk about this. He's behind the scenes doing a lot of things. We'd like for him to get behind the microphone.
Behind the microphone.
And thank you both for always being eager and willing to do that. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.